Welcome, Eagles, to another episode of Trad Cat Night Radio. I'm Eric Ajewski, founder and owner of Trad Cat Night, the most viewed and followed traditional Catholic website worldwide. Ladies and gentlemen, we are ranked number one in the world by Alexa as it relates to traditional Catholicism. I want to thank you all for a wonderful year. We're closing in on our three-year anniversary. Couldn't be more pleased. God is behind us. And picking up steam here and penetrating more and more into the mainstream with our information, being picked up more and more by other alternative news outlets, including Veterans Today, an absolute monster. So they're now carrying our articles and radio shows. So you'll see this interview that I'm going to do today with Mr. Bix Weir. And he's a first-time guest. So we've got a lot to get talking to today. Now, just in general, I know most of you know Bix already, but just a general background, Bix has 30 years experience in the financial industry with various Fortune 500 companies. He's the creator of the Road to Ruta theory, and his commentary is published at roadtoruta.com. Bix has dedicated his efforts over the last 15 years to exposing the long-term manipulation of the gold and silver markets. He has worked closely with the Gold Antitrust Action Committee, helping to pull the curtain away from the cabal of international bankers that has taken control of our very free market system. Now, at Road to Ruta, Bix deals with conspiracy and manipulation side of gold, silver, financial markets, and is not constrained by conventional thinking of how market prices fluctuate. Bix has developed this website to aid in the discovery of the truth behind our massively manipulated markets and to help expose those who threaten our free market system. But there you have it in terms of a background. I kind of just labeled this talk, it's a beautifully rigged world. Now, Bix, you know, when I go on radio shows and talk, I always talk about how we live in an endless giant Jerry Springer episode where we go to sleep, we wake up, and we're right back in the guest audience. It seems like everything around us is rigged, from the media to the financial numbers to the elections. It seems like virtually everything is rigged. How about we get into your take on the elections, post-election analysis? Lay it on us with Trump. I know V was getting all giddy. He wanted to get out there and get the 29K Dow t-shirts ready. Did he pump those out yet?
Well, the elections were rigged, just like the markets are rigged. And the question is, who has control of the rigging mechanism? Is it the good guys, as I call them, that are trying to take out these bad guys who have controlled our lives for so long, or is it the bad guys who have run our system through computer market rigging? And it is incredible what they can do and how they do it. But I've been digging into this for a long time. This goes back to the very foundations of computer money and electronic money back into the 60s and 70s. That's how long these markets have been rigged, very subtly in the beginning, but you can see it now. They have complete control of every market, can make the stock market, the bond market, the price of precious metals go up and down and sideways with the click of a mouse. It's very easy to do when no one's watching you and no one's stopping you from doing illegal maneuvers.
Now, on this wonderfully, beautifully polar vortex Thursday, I don't know how it is out by you. I could barely feel my toes at this point. It's quite cold. I think the high for the day is like 12. To use kind of analogy here, Bix, I mean, are the markets eventually going to turn cold? It just seems to me that Trump could potentially be the scapegoat, a setup to ultimately, you know, these globalists coming in behind them saying, hey, look, you know, nationalism doesn't work. We gave it a run with Trump. It didn't work. We need to get back to the original game plan. I mean, I'm kind of thinking that's the card they may use. I mean, who knows how this is going to play out, but what is the future of the United States and just overall with the stocks?
Well, both sides, the good guys, the bad guys, want to crash the system for their own reasons. The bad guys want to crash the system because they're kind of stuck and they want to cover all their bad deeds. There's massive repopulation of stock shares and mining shares and every share out there that are traded in the milliseconds, you know, millions of shares go back and forth that are never settled. Even the SEC says that the failure to deliver is over 200 million shares every day. Failure to deliver is a term they use for No exchange of money, no transfer of ownership. It just ether trades. So yeah, the bad guys want it to end, and the good guys want it to end because they want to get the bad guys out of there. As far as when it will happen, the good guys want Trump to get into office because as president, he would control the exchange stabilization fund. And that's where a lot of this stuff comes from, out of the U.S. Treasury. The basement of the U.S. Treasury has an electronic trading floor that they can change the price of anything with a click of a mouse. So that's kind of where we are. But both sides want to crash the system for their own reasons.
Yeah, I don't know about you. I mean, I was thoroughly surprised to see Clinton not win. I think most of us would at least argue that Trump is the lesser of two evils. But we're seeing this kind of globally now, this whole globalist versus nationalist situation. A little bit concerned here in the United States. We see these anti-Trump, Soros-funded movements starting to pick up steam, if you will. The concern, I guess, would be is that once the collapse would happen, I know V's been on record as saying probably the second half 2017. I'm pretty sure you say the same thing. That fits into our timeline as traditional Catholics as well, because the year 2017 is pretty key to us. Bolshevik Revolution anniversary, 1917, Luther Reformation, 1517. I think we're going to see a lot of worldwide revolutions in 2017. Any concern on your end that we're kind of headed in that direction?
I wouldn't call it concern, but we're definitely headed in that direction. I see the market upheaval in the first half of 2017 for various reasons. One, Trump wants to get this done. He wants to pop the bubble, and it doesn't take a lot of selling to do. All it takes is the removal of the support of the markets and the removal of the capping of gold and silver prices for the whole system to fall apart, because it's kind of like a coiled spring in both directions. The stock market's been supported artificially for 40, 50 years now via computer programs, and once that support is removed, every market will try to find their fair market value, and that's the problem, is that if the artificialness is taken out of the market, you see a lot of the bank bankruptcies. The banks are going down any way you slice it. It might start in Europe with Deutsche Bank and the Italian banks, but it will come to the U.S., and it will be a complete wiping out of these hyper-leveraged banks that have been using derivatives to rig markets. A fractional reserve system does not do well when asset prices fall. So we're going to see 2008 all over again. The question is, will Congress bail out the banks again? I don't think they will, because they're not going to need $700 billion this time. They're going to need $20 trillion.
Wow.
And I don't think the U.S. public is ready for that.
Now, you've been seen all over BIX, SGT report, X22 report most recently, Rogue Money, obviously, every Wednesday with V the Gorilla. On your latest report there, I didn't get a chance to check it out yet, talking about how the system is set to crash, currency in banks will disappear. Maybe you can talk about a little bit about that, give us a synopsis. But then when this crash occurs, BIX, you're saying that there'll be a reallocation of money and not a reset. Can you break that down in layman's terms for us?
Yeah, well, when we're looking at a banking crash, we're looking at the destruction of the derivative system. The derivative system is anything based off of something else. It's kind of like a side bet system. Hundreds of trillions of dollars are bet in this to control mainly interest rates, different banks throwing these bets down just to steer interest rates. The Exchange Stabilization Fund, which is the kind of the hidden fund within the U.S. government, has a lot of these derivatives, and they'll steer a market anywhere they want it to go. The fact that the Fed raises a quarter point doesn't make any difference in light of the amount of derivatives that are piled on top of that to control the market. So yeah, as the system implodes, you're going to see the destruction of the derivative market. And that was the big scare when AIG had lost, $300 billion. The entire derivative market, we're talking hundreds of trillions of dollars that will be destroyed, and no bank, not a savings and loan, not a 401k, not a mutual fund is going to survive that, because they're all interconnected and they're all leveraged to some degree. Leverage meaning that they lend out more money than they have as tier one capital, as their base capital. An average bank in the U.S. is about 10 to 1. So for every dollar they have as tier one capital, they can create $9 in extra money that they can lend out. That's how money's created in our system these days. So as that, which is great going up, as asset prices rise, the banks make a lot of money. As asset prices fall, the banks lose 10 times the amount of money. So that's why you have crashes like what almost happened in 2008. So at the end of that scenario, if there is a total collapse and there isn't a bailout by Congress, which I don't think there is because it would need to be too big, then we get into a situation where does society go within the United States especially. And the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston put out some documents years ago that I discovered. And what they're saying after my analysis, what they're saying is we're going to reallocate money to our citizens only. And we're going to do that according to Social Security balances. So those who have bought into the system, the older people in the economy who have bought into the system for a longer amount of time will get more, but everybody will get a share. Some people don't pay into Social Security, so there'll be a mechanism to reallocate money that way. But the money, the electronic money that you see in your bank account statement and your 401k statement, all that will be wiped away with this derivative crash.
Now we have, I failed to mention this, the latest rig numbers coming to you. Dow is now at 19,860. S&P is 2260. NASDAQ, 5450. Gold is at 11,30. Talk to us a little bit more about the prospects of people buying into gold, silver. I've had everyone on here, whether it's been Greg Mannarino, Andy Hoffman, Gerald Celente. You know, I always kind of argued, I mean, gold and silver is good, but do you think it's wise as well maybe to get into some land? I mean, God forbid everything does collapse. You know, I always kind of argue you can't really eat gold. I think most people will be scrambling for food. So I said, well, maybe, you know, get some land somewhere to grow some food. I mean, who knows with the draconian laws that are coming. They're trying to attack preppers and all this. I mean, this could spin any different direction. But talk to us a little bit more about just prepping in general, gold, silver, you know, what you're advocating.
Well, if you're looking at it as an investment, land could be a good investment. The problem is the system has to keep going, and most people don't know how to farm very well. unless you understand how to run a farm and how to do all that, it's very difficult.
Yes.
I suggest that everybody do a little prepper work and start a little garden and buy a lot of sprout seeds. Those are the easiest to grow, and they're nutritious. If we're talking about investment and investment in land, I don't know if it's such a good idea because, one, the system will have to keep going.
Sure.
And that's a problem, and it depends how the system will restart. Most likely, I know the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury are ready for this transition. They've been planning on it for over 40 years. They've actually been planning on it since 1913. When the Federal Reserve Act was initially started. And I have a little different take than most people in that I think it was necessary to do because they had found this gigantic gold mine within the Grand Canyon. And it was announced on the front page of the New York Times that this amount of gold they're pulling out of the Grand Canyon would literally destroy the world's monetary system. So they said, okay, all the bankers got together, all the rich, and said, this will completely upend society and our fortunes, so we need to do something. And that's when the Federal Reserve note was created, and they've been playing that game ever since. And now we're nearing the end of that. On the flip side, the biggest the biggest suppressed asset in the world is silver, and it had to be silver because there aren't these secret mines of silver. They actually had to shut down the largest plutonium manufacturing plant that the U.S. used in the making of the first atom bomb, and that was holding. They needed these gigantic magnets back in the 1940s called calutrons, and what they did was they borrowed, it was close to a half a billion ounces of silver from the U.S. Treasury, and they didn't tell anybody about it, but because silver, and they continued to make the components of the atom bomb all the way up until the 90s when it was finally shut down, because they needed the silver out of the calutrons, which is really interesting. And if you look at the export data from the United States and silver from the USGS, the U.S. Geological Society, you see that over, I think it was 93, 94, 95, there were massive jumps in the amount of silver, physical silver, that was exported out of the United States. So for some reason, and I think it was the lack of availability of physical silver, the United States had to shut down one of the most important military facilities that they had just to get the silver into the markets because it was running so low. So, yeah, if you're looking for an investment, if you're trying to compare gold versus silver, just think about all – there's a lot of other hidden gold mines too, because gold is a very important monetary metal. So when a country finds gold, they'll hide it in the ground like the U.S. does all over the place. You can't go into the Grand Canyon in this area anymore. It's blocked off by the military, and you're not allowed to go in there. And there's other mines like that within the United States and around the world. So if you're going to look for which investment will do better, gold or silver, I guarantee you that silver, once it's released from manipulation, silver is going to go up multiple times more than gold, could even surpass gold on a one-for-one basis.
Now, speaking about this transition, I've been on record as saying, years ago that I would be thoroughly shocked if this implosion, if you will, crash, however you want to say it, didn't occur by year's end 2016. Now, it doesn't seem likely. I don't think it's going to happen in the next 2 weeks, although it still could, potentially. You know, this fast track into this transition, if you will, I find it interesting that one of the latest covers of The Economist had this new global currency on its cover by 2018, and V and I kind of talked about this. I think they're doing a little predictive programming there, but talk a little bit more about this transition into what seems to be more of a digital economy, as Andy Hoffman puts it. You know, there's a lot of people concerned, Bix, about, you know, whole Mark of the Beast being tied into this giant supercomputer. Maybe after you give a little bit of commentary there, we can talk a little bit about the war on cash, because we've had several European countries, you know, trending that way, Sweden being one of them, then now India within the past few weeks. And now we have Australia. I just did a report on this morning. Australia is banning $100 bills, and over the next 10 years, they want to get rid of cash altogether. So maybe we can get into that area now.
Sure. Just a clarification, the Economist cover you're talking about was a 1988 cover.
Oh, okay.
That had a gold coin around the neck of a phoenix coming out of the burning currencies, and it said, "Get ready for a new world." I think it said a one world currency. Now, and the coin had 2018 on it, which is really interesting because that's coming right in line with what if the system does crash this year, we could very well see a one world currency. Now, that one world currency doesn't mean a one world government. Gold has been a one world currency since the invention of money. So I think people get a little confused as far as one world currency and one world government. But yeah, that's highly likely. I actually wrote a long report on the new Economist cover that has all these tarot cards that the Economist invented, put on the cover this year of their World in 2017 report. Very interesting.
And, yeah, with Trump, yeah.
Yeah, Trump's on it on the judgment card. But the analysis is actually really good, because the 2015-2016 covers were really bad, and they showed all these false flags on them, and it was just horrible. This new one is actually a really good outcome, because I studied, you know, how people read tarot cards. I didn't know anything about it. But the message they're saying is, yes, there will be massive upheaval in the system and in the markets and in our Earth, on planet Earth, but also it has a very bright future ahead with new technologies emerging, as well as the very last card in that tarot card reading is a star card, which is supposed to be very positive into the future. I don't believe in that tarot stuff, but judging from what they were doing, the pictures that they were pointing out there, very positive, and it's interesting. But getting back to the electronic money and banning cash, this is a huge thing, and we're going to hear a lot about it, and these are the bad guys, as I call them, trying to get everybody into an electronic system. And it's for, they're going to tell you, the banks and the governments will tell you that it's to stop money laundering and drug dealers and tax evaders and counterfeiting, and, you know, to stop the black economy, which is the in economic transactions that don't, like, fall under their control and rules. But the real reasoning behind it is to get us all under their control, because the banning of cash destroys your economic freedom. because everything has to go through their system, their electronic system, so that they can tax every transaction. They can track you. I mean, it is the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
And the fact that the mark of the beast was 666, those are digits. And computer programs are written in zeros and ones. And that's exactly what's going on there. But also, it makes confiscation of your wealth very easy if it's all electronic. And so a government or a bank can just go in electronically, take your money and say, we disagree with what you're saying, so we're going to cut you out of the system. And then you can't buy food, you can't get water, you can't get anything without access to that. One more other thing it does is it will spike the deposit that come back into the banking system. So a lot of the banning of cash says, okay, the banks will take your cash and then will deposit that into your account. Well, the banks need deposits right now because they're losing money on their fractional reserve system. But it also stops the bank runs because people can't go into a bank and pull all their money out when they start hearing that their bank's starting to go under. And we're going to hear a lot about that going forward. I think the biggest thing, the banning of cash is nothing new. The United States has been doing it. Back in the 1930s, we had $100,000 bills. And the banks would hand those back. And those were worth a lot more back then. Especially when we were on the gold standard. So, and then in 1946, the U.S. banned the $10,000 bill, the $5,000 bill, the $1,000 bill, and the $500 bill. So now we're just, our largest denominated currency is the $100 bill. But I think it's really interesting, if I'm correct, that the U.S. government and the Fed are planning to make this transition back to a more sound form of money, back to a gold standard. If you look on the brand new $100 bills on the right side, it's all gold. There's a gold inkwell, a gold fountain pen, and it says on there, written in gold, the part of the Declaration of Independence, that the people have the right to overthrow their government. It says that right on the front of the new $100 bill, and I think that's what's coming up. It's going to be really interesting to see this all play out, but I think that I'm sure from my analysis of the Fed Boston documents that the plan is to crash the system and go back to a gold standard in the United States.
Now, is there any suggestion along, the war of cash lines, any trends, any indications that this is hitting home here domestically? I mean, me personally, I don't spend obviously as much time as you and V do, but I haven't really seen any large suggestion in this area, and I'm kind of shocked, at least at this point. And maybe I'm just missing the information. That's why I'm asking you. But then piggybacking off of that, I always get asked this all the time, what are the more imminent signs to start pulling your money out of the bank? We see situations in Greece and in Brazil, a lot of these countries have just been turned upside down, for lack of a better word. Many people are now thinking that since Trump is in place that we shouldn't be preparing. Maybe things have been stabilized a little bit more. I mean, what are some of these more imminent signs that we can take a look at and say, okay, yeah, we need to start taking our money out? And I always say, when you do so, don't run around like a chicken without a head. But at the same time, I think we do need to be prudent.
Yeah, I have been telling people to get out of the system for quite a while, as much as you can. You got to pay bills and things like that, I understand. But there's no reason, especially because you're making zero money on any kind of bank account that you have. There's no reason to hold your physical money, your cash in the bank. And there have been suggestions by very high-level people within the United States that they want to ban cash. Larry Summers, the ex-Treasury Secretary, has said it blatantly, flat out, we need to ban cash in the United States. Stanley Fischer, the number two guy at the Fed, has said we need to ban cash. So it will come to the United States, and when the banks start wobbling even more over the next few months, there will be, and it might be, banning cash might mean after the system crashes and everybody's cut off from the system, they start reallocating money to the people via electronic blips only and no cash. And that's their way to say, we have taken full control now because you made a bad decision to keep your money in the banking system, even though the FDIC is supposed to guarantee, I think it's $250,000 per account at an individual bank. The problem with the FDIC now is that with the Dodd-Frank bill, the FDIC is required by law to pay the banking derivatives out first. So basically, they have to. The FDIC will have to pay hundreds of trillions of dollars to save the banks before they can pay, you know, the $200,000 max in bailing out mom and pop's savings and checking account. I think that was put into the law to ensure that there wouldn't be a bailout, because the FDIC doesn't have the money. They guarantee trillions and trillions, now hundreds of trillions of dollars worth of assets, but and they have no money. They have very little money, and they have to go to Congress to get approval. This pretty much assures that the U.S. Congress will not give the banks a bailout this time. Then we go back to, okay, then if the banks aren't getting a bailout and I don't get any of my money left I had in the system, what's going to happen? The thing about the failure of the banks is not only do electronic assets go away, but the electronic debts go away as well. And the big problem in the world right now is debt. Yeah. So if those electronic debts go away, I think most people are in debt overall, net-net, and most people will be very happy with the crashing of the system as long as there's a way to rejigger and restart the system in some fair way.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's something we actually haven't raised over this past year, is exactly that point. I would agree most people are in debt. Now, kind of piggybacking off of that, we have recently the Fed's raising rates, and again, I've had on all the top economists, and they basically said this wouldn't happen, and they basically said it would be suicide. Maybe help us make sense as to why this did happen, and what does this mean going forward? And they're saying maybe there might be three more increases next year. What does this mean for us?
Well, first of all, the Fed has said you know, we're going to be increasing rates for how long now? Over 10 years. So a 0.25 percentage rate increase is nothing to the average Joe, but it is something to those who hold trillions of dollars in derivatives on interest rates. So yes, it will throw a little havoc into the derivative world. I don't think it means much of anything anymore.
Okay.
I don't think it ever did, other than the perception of people who think that markets are freely traded. They aren't freely traded. They can set the interest rate wherever they want, and they can make markets move however they want with a click of a mouse out of the basement of the treasury. So, yeah, it doesn't mean anything other than it's kind of a false sense of, oh, we got things under control. And it's not only the raising of the rates that they did, but as you notice today, they slammed gold and silver. It's all part of the game. It's a way to try to keep people believing, having faith in the system, because an unbacked fiat monetary system, that's all you have is faith. Once you lose faith in your monetary system, it's over. The game is over, and then we can start fresh.
Now, I've been throwing fastballs here at Bix as it relates to finances. He said off air he likes curveballs, so I'm about to throw curveball number one at you, Bix.
bring it on.
There we go. So what do we make of this whole attack on the alternative media lately? You know, labeling, you know, websites such as mine as false news. I mean, Rogue Money, I'm sure, is on that list somewhere. Is this kind of like a last-ditch effort of the globalists pushing us into just a totalitarian, across-the-board censorship? And I've always told everyone this. You might not know this, Bix. I mean, I've been banned and suspended a half a dozen times on virtually every platform, and I currently can't even post my own articles on Twitter. They label me a malicious site. I can't even post my own material. So, I mean, this is where it's headed. I mean, but I guess it kind of came out of nowhere. I think we all suspected it, but it kind of came out of nowhere, and then all of a sudden this became the hot topic. What does Bix say on the topic?
Well, I don't think it came out of nowhere. I think it came out of the Pizzagate revelations that these guys are in deep trouble. If that stuff gets exposed to, you know, a nationwide audience in a larger scale, not just the alternative media, they are in deep, deep trouble, as in the we're talking revolution overnight, because it involves a majority, maybe not a majority, but about a third is what I'm hearing, a third of Congress is involved. And this is just bad stuff. And if it comes out, I think it will come out at some point, but the only way they think they can stop the flow of information is by calling everything fake news, so that if you hear it and it's so preposterous, they can say, oh, it's just fake news. And they built that meme and that narrative in the minds of the public. And that's exactly what they're doing right now by the fake news. It's all to save their own butts because they know they're being exposed. Google and Twitter and YouTube, they're all, the censorship is building and building. And if you look at all the alternative news media, YouTube posts, the views are going down precipitously because in the background there's a controller at YouTube making it harder and harder for people to find this news. And if you go to Google and you type in Pizzagate, and the first 20 hits are going to be fake news, fake news, fake news, fake news. And it's being controlled from behind the scenes, and we aren't allowed to get this word out. But I think I'm hoping, supposedly the New York Police Department is not letting this thing go this time. These are the guys who have the Anthony Weiner files and emails and videotape and pictures incriminating a massive amount of the people who participate in this stuff in Congress in Washington, D.C., and they're not gonna let it drop. The FBI, the higher-ups are trying to, or the CIA, or both of them are trying to play this off like they usually do and hide it under the rug. But the New York Police Department is saying, no, you can't hide this. This is just horrific what is happening.
Yeah, I can't forget Zuckerberg, too, over there at Facebook. I know half my posts seemingly kind of disappear on a daily basis over there.
Oh, yeah. They're all doing it. And that's the sad part is, you know, the internet is such a wonderful thing for the truth to come out and alternative views to come out. And ever since the Pizzagate thing started, there's massive censorship. And that's a very scary thing. And hopefully Trump will outlaw that type of behavior. But we'll see what happens.
Well, curveball number one has been hit out of the park. Let's throw another curveball.
last
question of the day for you. Any last-ditch effort here by the globalists, whether it's Obama or Clinton, to somehow keep office? You know, we're seeing all these kind of scenarios. You know, maybe there is an economic collapse. Maybe there's a phony alien invasion. That was one that came out, I think, of WikiLeaks that would halt Trump transitioning into office there on the 20th. Any potential conspiratorial scenario that you see that might potentially prevent Trump? And I've always said this too, for the past year, I said, you know, we can't rule out the potentiality of Trump even being JFK'd. Sadly, you know, JFK came out and spoke against, you know, the man behind the curtain. We know what happened. So could you imagine what would happen in this country? It'd be revolution overnight without question. Maybe talk along those lines. Any scenario that you see that could not,
yeah,
go ahead.
There's definitely a massive effort to do just that. They're paying off the Electoral College voters, which is unbelievable. See, the problem is that Trump is not, he's the president-elect. He won't be elected president until Electoral College votes. And I think it's the 5th or the 19th that their votes are tallied, or not tallied. 19th is when they vote. Now, these Electoral College people can be bought off and are being bought off, I believe. You know, if you have George Soros and have millions of dollars to throw at these people and their vote is anonymous, which it is, nobody knows who votes for who, that can be done. So then it goes to Congress. These votes are opened on January 6th, and the tallies, you know, it's all tallied up. If Trump doesn't get 270 electoral votes, then it goes to a vote, and the vote would be in the House of Representatives gets to vote for the president. The Senate would vote for the vice president, but the House of Representatives is controlled by the Republicans by I think 20 something Republicans. But you have people like John McCain and Lindsey Graham starting to say, "Oh, this Russian hacking thing is very important to our national elections." And, you know, McCain and Lindsey Graham, those are the kind of guys who are going to get outed as far as their involvement and their crimes against humanity. So, yeah, there's going to be a fight to get to get Trump in the White House on the 20th. I think the good guys, as I call them, have enough kind of dirt on the bad guys that, they say, you know, if you stop him from going in, we'll just release everything and let everybody see the dirty details of what goes on. And I think that's why Trump is nominating so many neocons and traditional Republican leaders into his cabinet, because he knows that he needs to at least pretend until the 20th that he's going to play along with the Republican agenda, when in actuality, I think many of those people will be fired right away, and he can put in the people he wants to put into, and they won't be the traditional Republicans and Democrats. They'll be more libertarian-minded and people working with the good guys behind the scenes. So, yeah, that good question. I think that's what's happening. It's definitely not a slam dunk that he's going to become president. I think the good guys have enough dirt on the bad guys that they'd be afraid of either assassinating Trump or letting him not take the position of president. Because you're right. You see not only a revolution in the streets because of the stopping of him, but you'd see a revolution against the good guy, against the bad guys, Republicans and the Democrats, because of the exposure of all their crimes over the years.
Well, there you have it, folks. I appreciate Bix coming on today. We'll try to get him back on more regularly, as I do with V the Gorilla Economist. Make sure you're subscribed to Tradcat Night right here, right now, on YouTube. Make sure you get to tradcatnight.blogspot.com for all the latest news, information, and special guest radio shows. Last few minutes for Bix as it relates to what I call shameless self-promotion. Why don't you give us, you know, your upcoming projects, you know, upcoming analysis, media appearances. Just lay it on us where you could hear, you know, your upcoming talks and things along that line.
Sure. My website is roadtoruda.com. There's a free email subscription site, and there's a paid site if you want more in-depth interviews. And I have a new report out on The Economist magazine, my analysis of the new one, the one with the tarot cards for 2017. It's really interesting. You can find that right at the top of the site, and it's like $15. But it really does, it amazingly, coming from The Economist, has a really positive message, and I wasn't expecting that when I started the analysis. So yeah, come on by and check out what we do at Road to Ruta.
Well, at TradCatNet, I'll try to do my best to keep you up to date on all of the latest economic news. And again, the more and more we can get individuals like Bix on, the more and more I know you all are learning, just as I am, writing down notes, just like you. So we appreciate Bix coming on today, and I look forward to my next talk with Bix in the future. Make sure we remember, folks, that I think we're all expecting this economic crash to happen pretty soon. Let's not fall into the den of despair, doubt, worry. You know, God has a plan for us. And with every storm, we know that there's a rainbow to follow. So let's keep our eyes as eagles fixated upon that storm, upon the horizon. And until next time, my good friends, stay safe and God bless.